Okay. All right. Well, how about we open up to 2 Peter chapter 2. That's where we're going to start. I want to take a brief look at a word that is translated deliver. One place is translated deliverer. What did I say? 2 Peter?
Yeah. 2 Peter.
2 Peter chapter 2 is where we're going to go. It's the Greek word, which is not really critical, but it's ruomai. And it's synonymous with another word that most of you probably know, which is translated saved at times. And that's the word sozo, okay, translated saved. And at times, it's synonymous, but the word ruomai, which is translated deliver or deliverer, it has an element in places where it's rescue. It's a large meaning or a large part of the meaning of the word. It's to save, but it's to rescue. Okay? And when you think about rescue, it's to, you know, pull out of impending danger or doom, or you're headed somewhere and you're rescued out from it, or rescued out from maybe a hostage situation, like those kinds of things. A little more intense than save, right? Mm-hmm. So we're just going to look at a couple places how it's used, which is kind of neat. And one of them is right here in 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to go down to we're going to start in verse 6. For our purposes, I just really want to zero in on where this word is used. In verse 6 it says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." Now we're going to go back and look at those records. But verse 7 says, and this is referring to God, "And delivered," he delivered just Lot. Okay? That word delivered is that word, ruomai. And the word just is a word that means, or is translated in many places as righteous. Isn't that something? He delivered, rescued just Lot. And we'll see why this word is used instead of just simply the word saved. Because it was a rescue. But he delivered just Lot. And then it says in verse 7, vexed, this Lot. Lot was vexed. And this word that is translated vexed, it means to, it's to wear down. It's not like an instant thing. It's to wear down through much work or much labor. Exhaustion. You know, you start out good, and it's just, boy, you just get worn down. And that's this word. And Lot was vexed, or he was worn down with the filthy conversation or that manner of life of the wicked. Verse 8, "For that righteous man," talking about Lot, "dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Now, this word vexed is different. This word vexed
means to put to the test through torture.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's to torture. To examine or put to the test through torture. Isn't that something? It tortured his righteous soul, seeing and hearing the way these people lived. Day after day after day after day after day. Isn't that something? And it warmed down. It warmed down. It's what happened? You know, then the next verse says, God knows how to deliver. Mm-hmm. See? And boy, he did. He delivered Lot. Isn't that something? And that word delivered, again, is our word, rescue. He rescued Lot. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 18. That's where we're going to start. And we're going to see why this word is used. Genesis 18. We're going to begin in verse 16. Now, this is in the context, it begins back in verse 1. There were some angels, men, they were angels, who came to Abraham. Okay? And many times in the Old Testament, you'll read where angels, it'll say like the Lord spoke or the Lord appeared, and it's angels. You know, Moses, when Moses saw the burning bush, okay, and that voice came out of the burning bush, I am the God of thy fathers. That was an angel delivering that message verbatim from God to Moses. Do you understand? Well, that's what happened here. This chapter opens with, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And these were angels, okay? And in that context, that's where they, you know, talked about at this time next year, you're going to have a son. And Sarah laughs, and the angel said, whoa, she laughed? Sarah said, no, I didn't laugh. And the angel said, yeah, you did. You know, but anyway, so they're done, and Abraham took care of them, as was the custom. Then in verse 16, and the men, referring to these angels, rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham this thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry, or literally it's the outcry, of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I'll know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now he's speaking to one of the angels. There were two angels that went into Lot. There were three that showed up initially here with Abraham. If you go back to verse 1. I believe that's right. Yes. Peradventure, verse 24. There be 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from there you do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Boy, what a relationship Abraham had with God, huh? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I'll spare the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. I know my place. But peradventure there shall lack 50 or lack five of the 50 righteous? Will you destroy all the city for lack of five? And he said, if I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. Anyway, if you read the record, he gets them down to 10. You find 10 righteous. The Lord said, I won't destroy it. Now, there was one righteous man that lived in this area, and that was Abraham's nephew. His name was Lot. Well, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, no, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him. You know, part of this was custom in the East. He would have constrained them to stay with him. But, you know, it says greatly. He didn't want them staying in the street. Now, Lot didn't yet know who they were. But you're going to see why he didn't want them staying in the street. Lot was pretty worn down. But, you know, he still had some things left. And in terms of his willingness to take care of these men in the city. And before they lay down, they turned it unto him, he entered into his house, he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. And before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. So the house is surrounded by men. Lot had fed these men, and they likely ate salt together. Doesn't say, but they ate a meal together. And their food was preserved with salt. So you got a salt covenant very possibly involved here, aside from the custom of taking in strangers under your roof. You know, and that you would let no harm come to them. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, these men surrounded the house, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which are come into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. So he is outside. These men are surrounding his house, and they want to know these two men. And you're going to find out in a minute it would be to know them sexually. That's why these men surrounded the house. A whacked out place, huh?
Rather.
Yeah. So Lot goes out. He goes outside. And you're going to see how crazy these men were in a minute. But he closed the door behind him. It's something. He's, you know, a little bit of integrity left a lot. He wasn't the sharpest bulb in the box, maybe, but there was a little something left here. So he went out, shut the door, and he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. I have two virgin daughters. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Wow. That's going to some lengths to protect the guests, isn't it? Now, I suspect there was a salt covenant involved here. But that was the custom. I'll bring out my daughters, and they're yours. Okay? Let's do that. But don't do this to these men, to these guests. Quite a place, huh? Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. See? They are under my protection. And they said, stand back. That's what these men said. these men who had surrounded the house. You stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now, talking about Lot, now will we deal worse with you than with them? Isn't that something? You're going to judge us? Boy, doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound familiar? You're judging me. He was trying to take care of and protect his guests. These men wanted to do some crazy stuff. Oh, you're a judge? You judge us? And we're going to do worse to you than we were going to do to these two. And they pressed sore upon the man, Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
They wearied themselves to what?
To find the door.
They were still going for the door. Even though they'd been struck blind, they wanted these two men. Pretty evil place. Wouldn't you say? And the men said unto Lot, hey, you got any here besides? Son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we're going to destroy it, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. These were angels. Isn't that something? And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked. Isn't that something? They didn't believe him. They were gone. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest you be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So Lot, we know he had, I guess, four daughters, right? At least, he spake his sons-in-law, so you got at least two. He's got two daughters that were not married, so he's only taken two of his daughters with him, and his wife. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him outside the city. While he what?
Lingered.
He lingered. It still wasn't sinking in. Isn't that something? Well, we read in 2 Peter that his righteous soul was what? It was vexed. It was worn down. Sleepy time. That's what the city did to him. That's what living among these people did to him. Worn down. Just worn down. Really something. And it came to pass that when they brought him forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. For our purposes, I think we're going to stop there. But if you keep reading, you're going to see Lot said, come on, it's just a little city over there. And he was used to that city life. Yeah, and his wife, God bless her, she looked back. And that looking back is in the heart, because it was after they had already arrived. She missed it. Isn't that something? But that's what it does. That's what it does. Wears you down. I want you to turn to Colossians, please, chapter 1. We're going to see here that this same word is used regarding our being rescued.
And we needed rescuing. In Genesis 1:28, we see that God had originally given dominion over all the earth to man. And we know that from Genesis chapter 3, that man rebelled, didn't he? That Adam rebelled. And Adam handed over that dominion that he had been given to God's archenemy, Satan, the adversary. In Luke chapter 4, I think it's verse 6, when Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, right after he had received Spirit in the presence of John the Baptist, he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. And in Luke 4, verse 6, one of the temptations was where the devil said to him, "You bow to me. I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of them, for they are mine to give." See, that's something. They're mine to give. If that weren't true, Jesus Christ would have called us bluff. But it was true. They were his to give. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, well, maybe we'll turn to that one. Why don't we do that? Keep your finger here in Colossians, because we're coming right back. But I want to look at this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 3 it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost or are perishing. In whom? In whom the God of this world," the God of this age, that word world is the word aeon, it's better translated age, "the God of this age has blinded the minds of them which believe not." And the word minds here is the thinking process. It's the thinking process of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should what?
Shine
unto them. Isn't that something? "But in whom the God of this age," see, all that authority that Adam had was transferred over to God's archenemy. And he's referred to as the God of this age. See? Lest the light of the glorious gospel. Isn't that something? Now, in Colossians. So we needed rescuing from impending doom. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Well, let's read 12. Verse 12 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness." This word "delivered" is our word, ruomai. And it's to rescue. It's not just merely save as to protect, but it's to rescue. Rescue out of. Rescue us from the power. And that word "power" is the word, it's a Greek word that means exercise power or exercised authority. Of what?
Darkness.
Darkness. Of darkness. Isn't that something? "And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear or beloved son." That's something. And the word "transferred" is a word that means citizenship, or has given us citizenship, or placed us as citizens in the kingdom of his dear son. Rescued out from the exercised authority or power of darkness. Rescued. Okay. And then, boom, given citizenship here. Isn't that beautiful? Given citizenship here in the kingdom of his dear son. See, that's that same word "rescued" that was used regarding Lot. See, whose righteous soul was vexed by the conversation of those people, by the manner of life of those people. Isn't that something? You know. And Jesus Christ spoke regarding these things. He spoke about not being, being in this world, but not being what? Not being of it. It's really something. So we too have been rescued I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Just flip back a page or so. You may not have to flip. I don't know. Depends on your Bible. Verse 20. For our conversation. This word conversation is the word for citizenship. Okay. Our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. From whence? From whence? From heaven. We are citizens of heaven, and that's a figure. It's a figure of speech. Heaven being put for the kingdom of his dear son. We belong to God. Do you see that? We're citizens of heaven, and then it says, from whence also we look, or we patiently wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall change our vile or humiliated body that it might be fashioned or have the same form as his glorious body. He's the firstborn, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Isn't that something? Citizens of heaven, from where we look for our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that won this for us. It's by his work, and it's in his kingdom of which we are citizens, and given all the rights, the privileges, and abilities that we have because we've been placed as citizens of God's dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, taken out from the exercise, power, or authority of darkness. Isn't that something? Darkness is something that can wear on you, isn't it? Yeah. You kind of get used to the dark. But that's not who we are. It's not who we are. I don't want to work on finding my way around the dark. I want to walk in the light. Right? Amen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 10. We're almost done. It's kind of neat just looking at some of these simple truths and I'm sorry. That's chapter 1. Unless you have a different kind of Bible. Chapter 1, verse 10 is what we're going to read. Yeah. Let's read verse 9 just to kind of help. Talking about these wonderful saints in Thessalonica. From them sounded out the word of the Lord in verse 8. Their believing was spoken of all over the place. Verse 9, for they themselves show or report of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered, rescued, ruhomai. Isn't that something? From what? The wrath to come. Isn't that something? He rescued us from that impending doom of the wrath. And it's coming. Talks about this in Romans too. Talks about this in Romans. That wrath to come, that we've been delivered from that. We've been saved. I'm sorry, there it's saved. We've been saved from the wrath to come. See? We're saved. We were rescued also by our Lord Jesus Christ from that impending doom. Isn't that something? It's beautiful. You know, Jesus Christ is the deliverer. Jesus Christ did what was necessary so that we could be delivered. There's a verse in Romans 11 I want to take you before we close. I just want to look at it. Romans 11. I love this. This is that section of Romans that concerns Israel. And it's regarding Christ. And he points out some things that promises that were made regarding the restoration of Israel. And we're going to read in a minute about that. But he brings up some of those promises. And but for now, salvation is by believing. And it's by believing on Jesus Christ. So what about those promises that were made to Israel? What about those promises? Well, they're going to come to pass one day. And it refers to this let's start in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, this is Romans 11, verse 25. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. That's that word, the rescuer. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Isn't that something? See? For this is my covenant unto them. You know, for now, they've got to believe the same as the Gentiles. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a day coming when Jesus Christ will be on this earth. And a lot of these things that were prophesied of are going to happen. And Jesus Christ is going to be the rescuer that comes out of Zion. Isn't that something? See? He's the rescuer. He's the deliverer. See? And it's Jesus Christ that rescued us from the wrath to come. Isn't that great? It's Jesus Christ that rescued us out from the exercised power of darkness, the exercised authority of darkness. Now I want to close in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 1. It says, in you, or even you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, and we all were, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And the children of disobedience are those who disobey what God has made available in the giving of his son and in the believing on his son. Among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of living in times past, in the lusts or the cravings of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were children of wrath because that's where the children of disobedience are headed. That's the impending doom that faces all those who have not believed on Jesus Christ. They've not been rescued. They've not been given citizenship in the kingdom of his dear son. So they're headed right for the wall. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love. You know, remember how we read that he was merciful unto Lot? Lot didn't do anything to deserve that. See? I mean, he knew people. He was Abraham's nephew. Something. But he had been taught and believed regarding the coming Redeemer. He was righteous. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, we are not physically in the heavenlies at this point, but in terms of our position, in terms of our authority, in terms of rights and privileges and abilities, we are seated where? That's right. We're seated in the heavenlies, rescued out from the exercised authority of darkness, that in the ages to come,
he might show or exhibit the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through believing. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship or his accomplishment. Created in Christ Jesus unto or upon good works. Whose good works? Jesus Christ's. Which God has before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. Isn't that beautiful? We've been rescued. Rescued from darkness. We've been seated in the heavenlies. And I just wanted to see, I wanted just to take a look at this, because it's kind of thrilling to see it. It's saved. I mean, saved is good. We are saved. But we've also been rescued. Snatched out. You know, snatched out of or out from among. See? And made citizens of the kingdom of his dear son. See? And that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for him to come. And when he does, we're going to have a body fashioned just like in his glorious body. Isn't that something? See? And we're going to watch him. We're going to watch him subdue all. We'll be with him. Because we've been rescued. So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, why don't we... What's that, honey?